I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. You know, let me tell you a little bit about my personality. Of course, a lot of you probably already can figure it out. Being this girly girl here with, you know, seven black belts and everything, I'm kind of a take charge, kind of a go-getter type person, like many of you listening to me are today, especially some of you women. You're strong, tough girls. And it served me well in my life. It took me out of a situation where I could have easily fell prey to being a victim more than once. However, it is a double-edged sword, ladies and gentlemen. It is a double-edged sword. Sometimes having that personality can become a very frustrating situation. You know, let me stop for a minute and tell you about some tough chicks. Even me and all my toughiness, I'm actually probably not as tough as I really sound. I know me pretty good, and I know I have my vulnerabilities. I guess everybody does that walks this planet, right? But at one point, several years back, I was actually training with Federal Air Marshal Services. They needed women to train flight attendants, which they call FAs, because everything in the government is, you know, an acronym. So it would have been the CMSD training for FAs. But anyway, you know, they wanted women because, you know, these Navy SEALs and Army Rangers were coming in just scaring the crap out of them. These are just, you know, typical women. The majority of them probably haven't done anything since 10th grade PE. So it was me and one other girl who did not have a law enforcement background, and then one other female who did have a law enforcement background. And they flew us to Atlantic City to train in an area where they actually have fuselage, airplane fuselage. So they train you how to do self-defense on this fuselage. Not even sure if the program exists anymore. I know it was a Senate-mandated program. However, I do think maybe they incorporated it in with the actual FA training to become a flight attendant, I think. But anyway, met this one chick, and she was a street cop from San Francisco. Man, this girl, she was tough. I mean, it wasn't so much that, you know, she was all, you know, crouching tiger, hidden dragon, or whatever you want to call it. She wasn't like Miss Bruce Lee or anything, but just her demeanor and her attitude. I mean, she would say, pass me the ketchup, and I would be like, yes, ma'am. Like, this chick was scary. She was a narc. She did narcotics on the streets of San Francisco, man. And I tell you what, she didn't even know she was tough, but she was one tough woman. And I always tell everybody, if you think I'm tough, you haven't met the female cop on the streets of San Francisco. But anyway, to let you know that a lot of people wired like that and wired like myself. Unfortunately, the other side of that sword is we don't have a lot of patience. So we're very good at taking charge, and we're very good at execution and getting things done. I mean, let me tell you something. If I put my mind to something, I would surprise myself if I didn't get it done and get it done in a very timely manner. That's just my wiring. But by the same point, I don't have patience for people who don't do things right. And I mean, not just right, but they don't do it timely. I don't like when people aren't on time. It really irritates me. You know, if I'm there to go out of my way to be somewhere on time, I expect somebody else who's going to meet me to be on time. It's irritating to me as a person. And people who don't do their jobs right, I mean, I understand there's human error, but, you know, some things are beyond human error. It's like, you know, what were you thinking? I don't have patience for a lot of that. That all said, I'm actually a very good martial arts instructor. And I'm very good with teaching, and I do have the patience to teach. But then there are these certain students, and, you know, you teach them like a gazillion times, and they come back to the next class, and they still don't remember. Come on, teachers, you know you have one. You know you have that student who has no memory retention, and it just, you just want to go in your room and just smash the door, right? But you can't go in your office and do that. I call that the other side of the sword. You know, the take charge people, the people who try to get things done, there's another side where they don't like people who always mess up, and they don't like people, you know, who are untimely. It's just a personality thing, and we're all wired very differently. But as I've gone on in my life, and I've learned some major, major hard lessons in my life because I am wired like that, I'm starting to realize there are some situations, ladies and gentlemen, where you're going to have to learn how to take one bite at a time and just do your best and see what happens next. And this was a difficult lesson for me. But, you know, I look back in my life at the times that I've had, you know, to do the best I can by taking one bite at a time and seeing what happens next. And, you know, after all, everything ended up okay. I'm okay. I'm here with you right now, and I'm okay. I'm still having to take things one bite at a time in my life. But, I mean, I look back at my past, and I turn around and stop on my journey and look, and I've made it. I'm fine. See, that's what kind of worries you when you're wired like that. You wonder if you're going to be okay in the future because you're surrounded by, well, basically things you can't control. A lot of it has to do with just being a control freak, and yes, I am. I am a control freak, and so are the majority of you listening to me today. And if you weren't, you wouldn't be as successful as you are in life. But anyway, there are times where you've got to put that sword down, guys. You got to put it down, take one bite at a time, and just wait to see how it goes down. Just see how that bite goes down. And then you're going to have to assess your next decision based on how that bite goes down. Gosh, I don't enjoy when things are like that. I really don't. It goes against my nature. I'm very much a bull. I charge. And when I can't just charge, it's really like putting a bull in a bullpen. I'm ready to go. And it's really strange. It's really strange. But I hope that I'm saying something today that is going to help somebody who also may be at a point where they're just losing it over having to slow down and not have control over things. You know, control can be very good for people who are in charge. But control can be very bad for people who are trying to be spiritual people. I laugh sometimes when I think, because it doesn't matter what kind of job or what kind of organization that I'm part of, within a very reasonably short amount of time, I'll always be offered a leadership position. Almost 100% I'll be offered a leadership position in some way or another. And I've gotten to the point where I tell people, I said, yeah, you see leadership qualities and you think you want me to be your leader, but I'm telling you, it will only be a matter of time and you're going to think I'm an a-hole. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So, no, I don't want a leadership position. I know how I am. I know what I expect, and I know how people are going to feel when I get there. You know, and it's just inevitable. I am the type of leader who runs a tight ship, and it's served me well in my life. I've done some incredible feats in my life, and I tell people, you know what, you think you – oh, yeah, we do, Karen, ha, ha, ha. You know, we need that take charge person that's going to make change. Okay, I go in and I take charge and I make change, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me in my life. It's that double-edged sword thing. Most people think they want someone who can take charge and make necessary changes. But I'm telling you, the majority of people, they don't want that. They're lying to you. They don't want that. They don't want change. I always laugh because, you know, I was in the news business for a long time. All the complaints we get, you know, it would be nice to hear some good news. I'm tired of all the bad news. They're lying. When you do good news, guys, you don't get ratings. It's no lie. If it bleeds, it really leads. People want to hear bad news. They want to see the car accidents. They want to see the murders. They want to see all this crap going down. They tune in on every night. They tune in to hear it and go, that's terrible. The news is so terrible. And then they'll go back the next night and turn the same thing on. It's called ratings, and it sells. So people say they want something, and I promise you the proof is in the pudding. That's not what they want. That's not what they want. So anyway, this is a little bit of the challenges people wired like me have to go through. And I've learned. And I've learned the hard way that people say things and they don't really mean them. And I'm very hesitant to take positions. I don't want to take any position. I'd rather be the hippie in the background with the backpack. Seriously, I've had it done too many times. You know, if it's just me and I'm in charge, like I have my own school, cool, man. That's great. That's no problem. But people in a corporate type setting or an organizational type setting, oh, she'll be perfect. You know, Yeah, no. I know what you really want, and I'm not what you want. All right. And I don't mind not being wanted. Doesn't bother me one bit. One bite at a time. One bite at a time. The hard times in my life. Oh, man. I remember one time I had a Fox News contract, and I was, you know, well, first of all, like, that's not bad enough. Not because I didn't love what I did, because I did, but it's just deadline pressure. I mean, it's just, you know, you've got to be able to be back and turn a story. And you know how many things could go wrong between then and then? And then I was very pregnant. I bet I was seven or eight months pregnant. Very, very pregnant. And then my husband broke his back on the job, had to have 7 back surgeries and wasn't doing well, ended up having blood clots and almost dying. It was horrible, horrible time in my life. And I just remember going, wow, I didn't complain to anybody. I don't download on anybody. I know chicks do that. That's one part where I'm not very chicky. I don't get with other chicks and cry on their shoulders. I don't do stuff like that. But I remember how hard it was. And I remember just sitting at my desk, you know, this big belly and everything going, oh, my God, just, you know, I have no control over any of this. There's nothing I can do. I can't do anything about this. I said, you know what? This is when you decide if you really believe in God or you don't. I mean, if you say you believe in God, this is where you got to let go of the control, ladies and gentlemen. You got to lay the sword down. I'm one of these individuals. It's the strangest thing. It's almost like, you know, it's not normal, like, when things happen to me. It's not normal things. It's like, and not just bad things, good things. They're not normal. Good things that happen to normal people, they're just, they're like outer space things. I just, what? What, I just won the Boston Marathon? I don't even run. Well, you won anyway. It's stuff like that. But anyway, when you have that sword, you got to lay it down sometime. My mentor, Chaplain John Scott, God bless him, he's taught me so much. One thing he always says is, Karen, you only have one employer, and that's God. Ultimately, God will sign your paychecks. And that makes so much sense to me when I go through these times and I worry about things. You know, I have one person to answer to at the end of my journey. You know, in the beginning it was God, and in the end it'll be God. You know, what was that song by Cher? Sooner or later we all sleep alone, right? Fully reliant, fully dependent on your faith. To believe, to have that faith. Faith is believing things will be okay, even if it doesn't seem like it. That's letting go of the control. It's hard for me to do that. Got my hand raised. Man, I struggle with that. But I've had to do it because I didn't have a choice. And it's taught me some incredible strengthening lessons in life, that I cannot be irrevocably responsible for everything that goes on the planet, in this world, in my life, in my world. I can't be irrevocably responsible. Ladies and gentlemen, we raise our children. We can't be responsible what they do as adults. We raise them the best that we can with what we have. And then if we spiritually teach them to have a journey, they're going to have to learn to rely on God themselves. And we got to step out of it. You dedicate your children at that little dedication ceremony at church? Did you do that? Did you christen your baby? Did you do that? I'm glad you did, but guess what? You just gave your kid to God. And basically saying, well, it's none of my business. I just gave this kid to God. That's what you're saying. It's not just some cute ceremony. You're actually giving your child to God. You got to remember that. Can't have control over that. Aging parents can't have control. What's going to happen to them? Everybody gets old. We're the next generation. Now we got to figure it out. We don't know what's going to happen to them when they're old. It's scary. You're old. What's going to happen? You're going to get dementia, Alzheimer's? You're going to get a massive heart attack, a stroke? Am I going to have to take care of you and push your wheelchair around? Am I going to have to change your freaking diaper? Come on. Now, I know you've had those thoughts. Those of you of age, I know you've had those thoughts. I mean, it's scary, right? But nobody knows what a day will bring forth. And you got to lay down the sword of control. Jesus Christ. It's time to get Jesus-y. Listen to me. He said, take no thought of tomorrow, because today is going to have enough on its own for you to deal with. And I thought, wow, that sounds so burdened down. But that's not the case. What he's saying is you don't need to be in control of this. Father God in heaven is in control of this. Just get through today. Get through today and don't worry about the old folks and the kids that are grown, what they're going to make decisions on and how they're going to do it. Don't worry about all that. You've got to let go of that, because he said, you know, look at the lilies. Look how finely the lilies are clothed. You know, if God is going to clothe something as beautiful as flowers, don't you think he's going to make sure you've got your clothes? Look at the birds in the air. You ever wonder how they eat and they survive? Nobody brings them their food. They survive because God makes sure that they have enough food. And Jesus Christ said, don't you think God considers you greater than a bird? You have your kids. This is what Jesus said. You got your kids. If your kid said, Mom or Dad, I'm hungry, you go out to your yard, pick up a stone and say, here, kid, eat this. Eat this stone. Would you say that? Of course not. Hey, ain't nothing like a mama hearing her kid is hungry, man. Those are fighting words right there. It's just natural instinct. Jesus Christ said you wouldn't give your kid a stone. Do you think God in heaven's going to give you a stone to eat? You're his kid. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry if you've got enough in your storage unit. He goes, that's foolish. You're just going to have to trust that God will take care of you, that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's all we got with the teachings of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. That's all we got to go by. If you're a Christian is N-I-A-N, a follower, Christ, someone who follows Christ is a Christian, then you need to read about the teachings of Christ, and you're only going to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four first books in the New Testament. If you go to any bookstore and look for a Bible, you're going to see those, if it says it's a red-lettered Bible, what that means is all those teachings, all those things that Jesus said are going to be in red. So literally, if you're in a hurry, pick up the Bible and read all the red parts. That's what I tell the kids. Just read the red parts. At least you're going to understand what he says. I mean, him saying what he just said, what I told you right there, helps me as a control freak lay my sword down and go, okay, well, I believe in the teachings of Christ, and this is what he said, so I've got to believe this. You got to believe this stuff in red. One bite at a time. Scary, scary times we're living in right now. You know, I said it, and I know you've said it. If you're a parent, loved having the kids. Love having kids, but I know my brother Rich Grogan said this, but I certainly do hate seeing the world that my kid lives in right now. I mean, you know, I got a 19-year-old, and he's doing well, but I tell you what, he doesn't know what it's like to have fun. He couldn't graduate, no prom, no celebrations, no get-togethers. I mean, we're creating a society of antisocial people, if you want to ask me. I mean, they really can't get together because of the viral situation or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's affecting them. And you just think, wow, our children are just missing out on so many things that we thought were so much fun when we were younger. And it's a real shame. It's a real shame. It almost feels like the world is so militant for our kids. And I hate that. I really do. As a parent, I don't like that. And as a spiritual leader, I don't like that. You can argue all you want. You can't argue my point if you're a parent. They're socially changing because of our world today. And the world is 100 times scarier than it was when I was growing up. It was scary when we were growing up. We always wondered about, you know, all this stuff that we would see. But, I mean, man, nothing compares to the way it is now and the vulnerability of our country. And I'm not a political person, and I'm not going to get political, but I am a person of faith. I'm a spiritual person, and I'm going to tell you spiritually I don't like what I see. And spiritually I pray for all the leaders of our country, and you should too. No matter if you voted for them or not, you need to pray for them because they're still calling the shots. They're still calling the shots. Pray for our leaders in government to make good, strong decisions and good judgment calls. Pray that they'll be able to make decisions that are going to reflect the godliness that you feel inside of you, those of you who feel godliness. I'm assuming you do, because by now you would have way turned me off. Prayer changes. People praying together becomes very powerful. It's strength in numbers when it comes to prayer. So you want to pray. Everybody pray for this country. It will make a difference. Just about out of time. Well, listen, I'll be praying with you. For those of you who are the leaders, the go-getters, the bulls who have to take in charge and run forward, you need to pray that you make good decisions and judgment calls. And pray for me to do the same thing, because I know how we are. We want to get it done. And I know sometimes that sword will swing, and it'll swing the wrong way, and it'll cut. And we got to be very, very careful with how we handle things. All right, that's that. I see you guys the next time on the Eden Assignment. Until then, I hope you're blessed this week. Bye-bye.